As we've continued through this book of Ruth, this is our fourth study now, we know this is an extraordinary tale about the ordinary. It's an extraordinary tale about the ordinary. You could even say that this God uses an ordinary family for extraordinary purposes. He takes this little family that really should have no place in history. They were just ordinary, but he takes this ordinary family and he uses them for extraordinary purposes. And that's why we've really entitled this series, Ruth, God's Concern for the Ordinary. That's our title of the series, in case you didn't know. Ruth, God's Concern for the Ordinary. As much as God has had concern for Ruth and her family, Naomi and her family, God has concern for ordinary me and you. Tonight, as we approach God's word, I want us to all ask ourselves a couple of questions. I want us all to sit here for just a second before we really dive into this text and ask ourselves two questions. Number one, what are you attracted to? What are you attracted to? What is it in another person that you find attractive? What is it that you are looking for when you think of finding a girlfriend or a spouse or a boyfriend or a spouse? What is it? A second question, what do you look for in the opposite sex for a relationship? What is your goals in that relationship? What kind of relationship are you looking for? What is the relationship to look like? Think about that question for a moment. I want to address you ladies for a second, because ladies, maybe you look for him to have big muscles. And maybe you don't, but maybe you do. And you look for him to have big muscles like Daniel. Not me. But you look for him to have big muscles. And it's with these big muscles that you're like, one day he's going to carry me over the threshold. Right? And maybe that's what you're looking for. Maybe like Kaylee, you're looking for someone with amazing hair so your children can have some. And you're looking for that man. That's why Kaylee married me, for my amazing hair on my back. Anyway. Maybe you ladies are looking for someone with pretty eyes so you can gaze into them. And you see that guy in youth group, you're like, he's got the prettiest eyes ever. Guys, for you, maybe you're looking for that lady who has a pretty face to look upon. And you look at her and you're like, I love her beautiful face, even when she doesn't wear makeup. And you want that lady with a beautiful face. And maybe you want her with beautiful eyes so you can stare into them all night long. And maybe you want someone, a young lady who, when she walks by, the smell of her hair weakens your knees. And you're like, I just can't get enough of that smell. I don't know what you guys find attractive. I don't know what you guys are looking for, but what traits are you seeking after in a relationship? What draws you to the woman of your dreams or the man of your dreams? What is it about them? I believe God's word addresses these things tonight of what should be attracting us. And I really want to put our attractive states of what attracts us, I want to put it in line with what God's word says of what we should be attracted to. So that's what we're going to do this evening. I'd like us to look at Ruth and Boaz. And I'd like us to see what attracts them to each other. What is it in Ruth that attracts Boaz? What is it in Boaz that attracts Ruth? What is it about this first encounter that made them even notice each other? What is it here? What is it? First, let's see what Ruth notices of Boaz. Number one, we'll see this. Boaz is godly. Ruth notices Boaz is godly. Look at verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Jump down to verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, or said to those who were his workers under him, the Lord be with you. Can you imagine? Can you see the scene? As maybe some of you guys are working already, and can you imagine your boss coming into your workplace and going, the Lord be with you? That's what Boaz is doing. He's saying, the Lord be with you. And notice what his workers say in response. They don't say, No. They say, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Notice how Boaz is at work here. He's in the fields. He owns these fields, and he's at work. He's in a place of working. And notice what happens. Just because he's at work doesn't mean he doesn't take the opportunity to worship his God. You notice that here? He's at work, he's working, and he realizes this is an opportunity for me to worship my God. The Lord be with you. Do you see his godliness there? He says that, the Lord be with you to his workers. You see, Boaz, this man, he knew all too well that his godliness is not just meant for youth group. He doesn't come into youth group and go, I'm going to put on my godliness now. He doesn't go to church on Sunday mornings and go, now's the time for my godliness. Or he doesn't go home to mom and dad after cussing at school, after getting into a fight, after sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and then you come before mom and dad and you go, I'm going to put on my godliness face so that way they know that I'm godly. Boaz doesn't do that. It's not just meant for those things. You see, Boaz, his godliness was genuine and real, not just a face or a mask to be worn. It's as if he lived his whole life before the face of God. And is that not what we do as believers? Our whole lives are to be lived as if God's face was looking upon us, because God's face is always looking upon us. It's looking upon us when we're sleeping. It's looking upon us when we're in our bedrooms alone. It's looking upon us when we're at school, when we're in youth group, when we're in Bible study, when we're at Scandia, wherever you go. God's face is upon us, and Boaz lived as if that were true, because it is. Everywhere he went, he worshiped his God. You could say this of Boaz: he didn't make himself godly, his godliness made him. That's the kind of man to look for. It wasn't that he made himself godly, it was his godliness made him. Ladies, to address you, the man of your dreams should have a godliness that is making him. The man of your dreams should have a godliness that is making him, not the other way around. But many times, unfortunately, you ladies are attracted to that dangerous guy. You're attracted to the guy who likes to live on the edge. You're attracted to the guy in school who's the coolest guy. He's cooler and way cooler than kind of the clean-cut guy who's living that boring life. That guy who's always getting straight A's, the guy who's always doing the right thing. I go for the guy who kind of lives on the edge, because he's not boring. Well, let me tell you something very important. The Bible says this: sin is pleasurable for a season. There may be a season in your life, ladies, where ultimately you look at a guy who's kind of edgy. You look at a guy who's kind of dangerous. You look at a guy who's not godly, and it may seem pleasurable. It may seem like, man, this is what I want. And while living on the edge with an ungodly guy may seem fun for a while, in the end, it will lead to much more hurt. Let me tell you a story of a young lady who was a part of youth group when I was in high school. And this young lady, she was a quieter girl when I was in high school. And she was a girl who came in every week, and she was faithful to the ministry. And it was really difficult to kind of talk to her because she was just shy. And so one day, you know, she got noticed by the coolest guy in school. She went to school and he noticed her, and this guy had a bad reputation. This guy, not bad reputation like Taylor Swift. This guy had a legitimate bad reputation, okay? And this guy, he was known as the coolest, most popular guy in school, but he's also known as bedding every girl that he came into contact with. That's the kind of guy he was. And this young lady, she came in and she told everyone in youth group how she was in love with this guy. I'm so in love with him. He noticed me. He's the first one to talk to me. He's a popular guy. I'm in love with him, she said. And she ignored all the warnings of him being a guy to stay away from. I know leaders told her, I know people like me told her, that he was a guy who was ungodly. He was a guy who was going to tear her down. Well, one day she came into youth group and she was just in tears because this guy broke up with her. This guy, you know, had just that day had decided, hey, I'm done with you. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. It's over for you and for me. And she shared with the group of how foolish she had been, of how discouraged she was to have allowed her body to be used in such a way, to have given so much to a guy who really meant nothing to her now, a guy who disgusted her now, and she was ashamed, she was discouraged. She was living with that edgy, ungodly guy. But for us, for you young ladies, God's word is very clear here. There's a man that God can make, a godly man that I first and foremost want to share with you, especially you ladies. There's a godly man in your life that can love you more than any other man here on earth, and that's Jesus. And if you find your hope, all of your joy, all of your satisfaction, all of your contentment in Jesus, you will know a godly or an ungodly man when he comes. Man, I just saw my pulpit. Sorry, it's a distraction. But how do we know if a guy is godly or not? How do we know? How do we know if a guy's not playing me? How do we know if a guy is godly? Well, I believe there's three key areas that Ruth sees in Boaz tonight. Three key areas that we'll address real quickly, and then you guys are not off the hook. Three key areas. Number one, Ruth sees Boaz's godliness as number one, strength. Number one, strength. She sees strength in him. Look at verse 1 again. There was a relative, Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Now it says here Boaz is wealthy. That's what the text says right there. If you have New King James Version, Boaz is wealthy, but that wealthy word is better translated to valor. It's more of a word that means valor. Think of a man in battle, a strong man, a man of valor. You know, he goes in, he's the first one onto the battlefield. He's the last one off because he's a man of valor. He's a strong man. You see the strength in him. And where Boaz's valor and strength comes from is this: Boaz's strength was in the Lord. He is a man who is strong in the Lord. You see, his strength is not seen when he takes his shirt off and you see his muscles. His strength is seen in his love, his faith, and his faithfulness to the Lord. It's seen in his ability to be godly. For you young ladies, this type of man looks like a man who reads his Bible. It's really, really that cliche. In this day and age, the Boaz is in our lives. The man that we should be looking for is a man who reads his Bible, a man who not only reads his Bible, a high schooler who not only reads his Bible, a man that you may run into in the future and go, man, I really like him, I'm attracted to him, but this is a man who's gonna read his Bible on a daily basis and God's word is gonna flow from his lips. This is a man who is quick to pray. You see strength in reading God's word. You see strength in a man who's ready and willing and quick to pray, a man who is faithful to church, faithful to coming to youth group in this stage of his life, a man who is not quick to compromise. That's a strong, godly man. Another key area revealing Boaz's godliness is number two, grace. We see grace in this man. Look at verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Now what we need to understand here is this is Boaz's field. This is Boaz's field. He owns the field here. He owns it. It's his. He can do what he likes to do with it because he owns it. In other words, Boaz, as Ruth, is a foreigner to the land. She has no rights to the field. She's a foreigner. He doesn't have to let her come and take crops from his field. And you even notice that because in verse 9, Ruth says this. She says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes? I'm no one. I'm a foreigner. I don't deserve to be here. I have no rights here. Why have I found favor in your eyes?" You see, Boaz, in his grace, he sees that Ruth is in need and he extends grace for her, which grace is giving you more than you deserve. You see, there's justice, there's mercy, there's grace. Justice would be, hey, you're a foreigner, you have no right here, go away, go home, go to your homeland, and there they will take care of you. That's justice. Mercy would be, hey, you know what, you picked up some crops earlier today, I'll let you have those, but you can't come here anymore. That's mercy. Grace is, hey, look at what Boaz does here. Grace is, don't go anywhere else. Come to my field and eat from my field. When you're thirsty, come and drink from my wells. You see the grace of Boaz there? You'll see this type of man, this gracious man, you'll see he looks to love others well. That's how you'll see a grace of a man. It's the type of man to look for love, or to look, He looks to love others well. That's a gracious man. It goes on, he values and thinks of others greater than himself. That's a gracious man. That's a man to be attracted to. That's a quality to look for. He is quick to extend grace instead of seeking justice. He is quick to listen and slow to anger. That's a man of grace. Those are attractive attributes of a man. And then third, and finally, the third key area revealing Boaz's godliness is number three, his protection. Look at verse 9 again. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Jump down to 13. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. You see, Boaz has this protection about him. And it's a great protection within him. He commands the young men, don't touch Ruth. You see, in that day, for a young lady who had no protection of a husband, no protection of a father, you know what would happen? They would take her and go, hey, she's gonna be mine, and they would rape her, they would molest her. And so this young man, Boaz, says, hey, I'm commanding the men not to touch you. If they touch you, they're gonna have to deal with me. Do you see the protection there? He's providing protection for her. And it leads her to saying this, you have comforted me there in verse 13. You've comforted me, spoken kindly to me. You see, this type of man, this protection, is a man that looks to protect you above himself. It's a man that considers your protection higher than maybe his needs. He protects your interests. He protects your purity. He lays down his desires and needs for your desires and needs. That's protection. It's not protection of a selfishness or an insecurity. A lot of men have insecurities and selfishness when they say this, I don't like when you talk to that guy. Every time you talk to that guy, it just makes me uncomfortable, and you just need to not talk to them because I'm your boyfriend and I get to tell you what to do. That's not the type of protection Boaz offers, but instead he protects who she is in Christ, who Christ made her to be, in this pure, beautiful, kind, loving way. It's not an insecurity. It's not that type of protection. It's a protection of considering herself above him. Ladies, we need to be seeking a godly man who is strong in the Lord, gracious and loving towards you and others, and protective of your heart and your body. And that all starts with him being godly, because his godliness is making him. He's not trying to make himself godly. I think of examples of men that you'll see here. I think of Rick Cowden. I think of Chris Mathis. I think of Dennis. I think of Brandon. I think of Daniel Diaz. I think of guys like that, men who are honorable, men who are strong in the Lord, men who are gracious to others, men who will protect the heart and the body. Ladies, how does your crush line up to these things? How does your dream man line up? Is your dream attraction to someone who is godly or to someone who is not godly? Is your dream attraction to someone who is loving and gracious and kind, to someone who will protect you, to someone who will consider God and live for God above everything else in his life? But guys, that's for you ladies to consider. Think of that crush. But you guys, how are you lining up to this man? How are you lining up? Are you godly? Are you strong in the Lord? Are you gracious to others? Are you protective? Are those qualities that you're finding within yourself because God is transforming you, as we like to say? How is that going? Are you working on these traits more than you're working on your muscles? Are you working on these things more than you're working towards your career? Are you working on these things and really considering these things in your life more than you're looking at pornography? You see, the decisions that you're making, if you're making the decision to add these things to your life, that's gonna make you. But if you're making the decision to do pornography and sins in your life, those things are gonna make you. So men, how are you lining up? Now let's look at Boaz. Let's see what Boaz notices in Ruth. Let's flip the tables for a moment. Number one, Ruth is godly. Wow, same point. Boaz is godly, Ruth is godly. Jump down to verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. You see here, it says that Ruth has come under the wings of the Lord to be her refuge. But what that's basically saying is Ruth has put her faith and trust in God. Ruth is godly here. It's a very fancy, poetic way of, look, she's taken refuge under the Lord's wings. All of us who believe in Jesus have taken refuge under the Lord's wings. And Ruth has done the same. She's godly. She's devoted to her God who's taken her under his wings. You see, she knew through the last chapter that God's led her through a tough time. And it was through that tough time It was through that time that she really committed her life to the Lord. She gave her life to the Lord, and she knew that this God that she's beginning to know, that he would always provide for her. He'd always protect her. He would always comfort her. And though life had brought her difficulties, though life was tough, though life was overwhelming for her and difficult, her trust in God was attractive. Her faith in God, despite the circumstances, her eyes being on the Lord, her doing the right things and living morally unto the Lord, that was attractive to Boaz. You see, where Boaz's godliness was attractive because of his genuine faith in the Lord, remember, he didn't wear a mask. He was godly all the time, wherever the face of the Lord was. So Boaz's godliness was attractive because of his genuine faith. Ruth's godliness is attractive because of her trusting faith, her utmost trust in God, under whose wings she found refuge. Guys, let's be real. The woman of your dreams should have a trusting faith in God. She should be godly. It's that simple. The woman of your dreams should absolutely, 100%, you should know without a doubt, she trusts in the Lord. It shouldn't be, if any of the youth group leaders asked you, if your mom and dad asked you, hey, does this person know Jesus? I think so. No. You should know. That goes for you ladies as well. It should never be, does that guy know Jesus? Well, he comes to youth group. No. Not how it works. You should know. It's the same way. Same way. You should know that this young lady has a trusting faith in God. You see, unfortunately for us guys, many times we look for a girl who's going to give us what we want. That's what we look for in a girl. But we go around and we go into our schools, we go into youth group and go, hey, is this girl going to give me what I want? We want a girl who we think will give us the most sexual satisfaction. We look at her body and we go, hey, you know what? That's good for me. I desire that in a woman. We spend more focus or more time on her body dimensions than we do on her faith in the Lord. We spend more time looking at her outward than we do on her inward. And that's a dangerous thing for us guys. It's something that we do that's wrong, and it's going to lead to our destruction. Notice what the Bible tells us. It says this, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. So if you look at a girl and all you're gonna marry her for or all you're gonna have her for is because you're gonna have a physical beauty with her, do you realize that her beauty is going to pass? I'm sorry, ladies. God's word says it. There's gonna come a time where you're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old and you are not going to look the same as you do today. That's just reality. So seeking a girl for what she will bring you in bed, it will bring you some satisfaction. I agree with that. It will bring you some satisfaction. If you marry her, wife her up, and you get what you want out of the bedroom, there's some satisfaction there. But in the end, when her beauty fails her, when her beauty fails you, you'll have no foundation to stand upon. You'll have loved her for nothing else except for her physical beauty, and there's nothing left for you. Let me tell you a story of a man that I know. And I knew a man who, he had married a lady for her physical beauty. That's it. She was a lady who was not godly. She was a lady who was filthy, a lady who was just no good whatsoever. And he looked at her, gazed upon her, liked her, said, I'm gonna marry her. She was a very beautiful woman, but completely ungodly. And after a few years of marriage, after two kids, this lady cheated on him. Two kids later, faithfulness in marriage for a few years, and this lady, she left him, cheated on him, committed adultery on him, and it led to a great falling out, broke this man's heart, divided the whole family. Even to this day, the family's divided over these things, all because he made the decision, I'm gonna marry for what I can get out of this woman. Guys, how can we tell if a beautiful girl is also a godly girl? Boaz notices three key areas that reveal Ruth's godliness. Three key areas. Number one, humility. Number one, humility. Look at verse 2. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Jump down to verse 7. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Jump down to verse 10. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Do you see Ruth's humility in these moments? Ruth asked her mother-in-law and the servant of the field, can I pick up scraps today? you know, I'm hungry. My mother-in-law and I are hungry. We have no one to provide for us. Can I just come into your field and pick up the scraps? Can I have the leftovers? Is that okay? And even though it was her right, even though it was her right to do this, she still asked. She still asked Naomi. She still asked the servant. She still bowed down to Boaz. It was her right because ultimately, God's word says in Leviticus, when the owner of the field takes his harvest, it says, hey, don't harvest all of your field, harvest some of it and leave some for the poor, leave some for the oppressed, leave some for those who can have no way of providing for them. And so ultimately it was her right to be able to go into this field, but still she asks, still in humility, she goes, hey, can I do these things? She fell on her face before a gracious and loving Boaz because she was humble. Guys, this type of lady is to look for is meek and kind. Meek and kind. She's got a tender heart, a soft and quietness about her. She's not one who will, you know, look to get out of the relationship, but she looks to give in the relationship. She is supportive and encouraging, even if she knows, hey, this may be wrong. She really encourages and supports you to try to make the right decisions within marriage. She's willing to deny her rights in order to exalt and lift others up. That's the humility. She knows she is beautiful, but she humbly submits her beauty to the Lord instead of using it for her own gain. You see that? Ruth was a very beautiful woman, but in her humility, she could have gone out and found a husband with whatever she wanted. She had a body, she could have gone and found out. She could have taken notice of these men. The men would have noticed her, and she could have done whatever she wanted to try to use her physical beauty for gain. But in her humility, she knows she's beautiful, but she humbles herself and submits her beauty to the Lord instead of using it for sin. That's the kind of woman, lady, we need to look for. Another key area revealing Ruth's godliness is number two, her selflessness. Jump down to verse 11. Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you have left your father and mother and the land of your birth and how and have come to a people whom you did not know before. You see, Ruth is so selfless of a lady. That's all she's known as. These town people, she was a foreigner. No one knew her. No one knew who she was. But you know how what they did know? They knew her story, her selfless story, her story of, hey, we know that your husband died and we know that you left your father and mother and we know that you stayed supportive to your mother-in-law. We've seen this selfless act and Boaz has noticed this selfless act to Naomi. That's why he says this in verse 11. No one knows otherwise. They just see her selflessness. You see, this type of lady that we look for, this young lady, is one who never thinks of herself. She's the mom that she'll be in the future where she really considers her kids and sacrifices for her kids. She's the wife who will sacrifice for her husband. She does whatever is best for the family, whatever is best for others because she's selfless. She has a huge heart to meet the needs of others. You see that within Ruth because Ruth doesn't go into the field to provide for herself. She goes into the field to get food for her mother-in-law. She's one that's got a huge heart, this young lady to look for, who's looking to provide for the needs and meet the needs of others. She's not a taker, but she's a giver. She uses her beauty to please the Lord and her husband, not for selfish ambition, much like the humility. Third key area revealing Ruth's godliness is number three, her beauty. Her beauty, jump down to verse 12. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. You see, Ruth was obviously physically beautiful. It's not as if like, oh, she wasn't physically beautiful, but she had an inward beauty. She was both. She had an outward beauty. And that's obvious because Boaz, we know in verse 5 there, it tells us, whose young lady is this? Does she have a husband? Is she married? You see that he takes notice of her because of her physical beauty. But the beauty we see in this verse is an inner beauty. An inner beauty where that's not according to God's word where it says beauty is fleeing. This inner beauty actually is renewed day by day by day. You see, men, we shouldn't be looking for someone who's just physically beautiful. We should be looking for someone who already shows this inward beauty that we know God is going to continually renew day by day. Why? Because this beauty is a beauty where her faith and trust is fully in the Lord. That's the kind of beauty we see here in Ruth. This type of beauty, or this type of lady, is one who looks to read her Bible. She continuously reads her Bible. She's quick to pray, much like the man. She's gentle and quiet. She's not compromising. She glows with the beauty of Jesus when she talks. Whenever she talks, you hear Jesus upon her lips. Whenever she talks, you see her heart. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when she speaks, you're like, that's Jesus. And the attractiveness there is the beauty of Jesus within her. Guys, we need to be seeking a godly woman who is humble in her beauty, who is selfless in her actions, and beautiful in Jesus. I think of examples of these ladies that we'll find here in this room at times. Kaylee, my wife, Christina, Rick's wife, Jackie Mathis, Jackie Beeson, Donna, Dennis's wife, Cynthia, Daniel's wife. We see ladies like this, Amanda, Jacob's wife. We see ladies who show this inner beauty, who show their humility, who show their selfless actions, and they're beautiful in Jesus. So men, how does your girlfriend line up? How does your crush line up? How does the person at school that you are just hoping to get with, that you're hoping to be with, how do they line up to this? Are they humble? Are they selfless? Are they beautiful in Jesus? Are you looking at girls as objects to be taken and used? Are you doing that? Because let me tell you something. If you're doing that, let me tell you where that comes from. Oftentimes that comes from pornography. That comes from some sort of looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. And what that teaches you is these girls are mine. They're objects to be used to feed my pleasure. And it's not just that you're going to look at the ones on the internet or the ones in the magazine or the ones on your phone or whatever it is and go, those are the objects for my pleasure. You're going to start looking at girls around you and go, which ones are objects for my pleasure? And if you're doing that, you need to seek God and forgiveness for it. And you need to stop that. Are you looking at girls as objects to be taken and used, or are you looking at them as people made in the image of God? Do you know that every young lady in this room, every young lady you're going to come into contact with, Every lady you'll come in contact with the rest of your life, do you realize that God has made that lady, that woman, in his image? They're not objects. They're ladies made in the image of Jesus. Ladies, how are you lining up to Ruth? Are you humble? Are you selfless? Are you beautiful in Jesus? Are you working on these things and trying to grow in these things? Are you giving the young men, who maybe you want to pursue you, are you giving these guys opportunity to see these qualities in you? Are you acting them out? Are you living them out? Or are you giving guys opportunities more likely? You may be giving them opportunities to see your body and be immodest. You show more on Instagram. You show more because that's how you want a guy to like you. You think that's what a guy wants. Are you giving them opportunity to see your body and see you immodest? Or are you giving them opportunity to see your humility, your selflessness, and your beauty in Jesus? And do you fully believe, young ladies, you fully believe that your beauty is solely in Jesus? Do you have such a faith in who God's made you to be? Are you so satisfied in the fact that your heavenly Father sees you as beautiful? It says that he fearfully and wonderfully made you. Do you have such a confidence in how your God sees you that you can be humble, you can be selfless, you can be beautiful in Jesus? As we close, I want us to notice how amazing God's grace is. Jump to verse 3. There's a great scene of God's grace here. Verse 3, then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened, notice that, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. You see that? And she happened to come. I believe that the writer here is kind of being sarcastic. I really do. He kind of gives us this forewarning of like, Boaz, this wealthy man Boaz. And then all of a sudden, verse 3 says, and Ruth, she happens to come into Boaz's field. Do you see that there? Do you see kind of the sarcasm there? Happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. You see, Boaz and Ruth happened to meet. They happened to notice these traits in each other. They happened to get married later on, and they happened to conceive a son. And you know what happens? The son is brought about to continue the line where Jesus is going to come. What I want to challenge you with is this. Tonight, you didn't just happen to come to youth group. Do you believe that? That you didn't just happen to come. You're like, well, yeah, I always happen to come here. You know, my mom makes me come, or I really want to come because I see my friends, or I see that girl that I like, or see that guy that I like. But you didn't happen to come. God orchestrated you to come. God made it so you would come. God knew that you would be here. God knew that you would hear from Ruth chapter 2. And maybe for you, you come and you're in this relationship and you're in a sinful relationship and God brought you here to get right with him. You now recognize and you go, man, I've been in this sinful relationship and I need to get right with the Lord. I've been wrong. I've been looking at girls the wrong way. I've been looking for the wrong type of guy. I need to look for a guy like Boaz. And maybe you are crushing on the wrong type of guy or girl. And you come in and you're like, man, I like this guy at school, but he really is the wrong type of guy according to God's word. I've been liking this girl in youth group, but really, even though she comes to youth group, she's the wrong type of girl to look at according to God's word. And maybe for others, you've come out of a broken relationship and you're broken over this relationship. It was a relationship that was broken for sin or for another reason. And God wants to minister to you. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. And he does so at the cross. He wants you to come to the cross. He wants you to come and realize, hey, you didn't just happen to come in here and hear this teaching. God orchestrated it. And God orchestrated it so you can find forgiveness, mercy, redemption, healing at the cross. And just like ordinary Boaz and Ruth, who happened to be in the field, now ordinary you happens to be here with Jesus. You've happened to come into this place, and Jesus knows exactly where you're at. Jesus knows exactly what you've been doing. Jesus knows exactly what you need, and he wants you to come to him so he can fulfill that in your life this evening. Are you going to allow him to? Are you going to allow him to convict you if you need conviction, minister to you if you need ministering, heal you, forgive you, comfort you? Are you going to allow him to do that, or are you just going to walk out of here and act like nothing happened? Are you going to walk out of here and go, you know, that was a good teaching. I learned a lot, but really that wasn't for me. Or I'm not going to apply any of these things. I felt good in the moment. And you're just going to walk out of here and mom and dad are going to ask you, what did you learn? And you go, oh, I learned about the Bible. It was good. Do you realize that God's orchestrated? You didn't just happen to come here in your broken relationship. You didn't just happen to come here when you're looking at the wrong person to like. You're here with Jesus and Jesus wants to minister to you. Don't walk away. Don't walk away and act like this is just a coincidence or it's just an accident. As the worship team's gonna come up on stage and we're gonna have a last song, I wanna give you that opportunity. I wanna give you that opportunity for those of you specifically who have been in a relationship and you need healing, just go before the Lord and cry out to him in this worship. Go before him and just go, Lord, I need healing. For those of you who may have been looking at the wrong type of person to like or to date, or you're in a relationship that you shouldn't be in, then go before the Lord and ask him to give you wisdom and what to do. Lord, do I need to be liking someone else? Do I need to, you know, end this relationship or deal with this relationship that really is not a godly relationship?